Today. We've been able to celebrate that. We've been able to watch it. And in no small part to Kayla and Jenny and their work here at Parkwood. I don't know if you realize this, but this has actually been a short stint, a short break in their schooling, where they have been able to put into practice some of the Bible work principles that they've been able to learn at Souls West. And actually, I want to bring them up here really quick. Kayla and Jenny, and also Heidi. Where are you, Heidi? Is Heidi, where's Heidi? Heidi. She doesn't know I'm doing this. I'm sorry. Well, when Heidi hears that she's being called. Anyways, we do want to praise the Lord for what God has done through Jenny and Kayla. And today is their last Sabbath. Actually, Jenny flies back to Missouri for a little bit, and then on to Souls West from there. She flies out tonight, right? And then Kayla, you take off tomorrow. And before they leave, we wanted to give them just a gesture, a token of our appreciation. And so please come forward. This is something we gave to Heidi and Sherry May last year. And Heidi, come on up to you, yeah. And so we've wanted to share with you some handmade quilts. I don't know if they can see that. Can they see what you... Anyways, yeah. Got to put a little picture there. Yeah, praise the Lord. We do want to praise the Lord for the work that he's done through you. And after Heidi, come on up, Heidi. And Heidi has actually been kind of a mentor to them because a year ago she was in their shoes. She was here for just 11 weeks. She was being mentored and trained by Brooke. You remember Brooke? Yeah, and so Heidi is the new Brooke, and who the new Heidi is after this, we're not quite sure. But anyways, we are thankful for all of your ministries. Really, I think this is awesome. I mean, because Parkwood has become a hub for training up young adults. I don't know if you realize how precious that is, because the young adult generation happens to be a missing generation in our church. Not just in the Adventist church, but within the Christian church. And so for us to be intentional and invest and give an opportunity for young people to say, hey, ministry is where it's at, and having had a little exit interview with each of them, it came up that ministry is not just something that we do because we have a job or a title for it, but it's now a lifestyle. And that's a powerful testimony. And so I just want to thank you guys for your ministry. And I want to have you stay up here while the fruit of many of your labors comes to join us. I'd like to invite those who were just baptized to come forward. Where are they? So if you're just baptized, please come on up. If you're in the back, come on. Yes, let's come out here on the steps. And you know what? I want to invite those who are being intentional about being spiritual friends and spiritual mentors to these. We're going to have an opportunity to pray. So when that prayer time comes, please just kind of make your way forward. Before the spiritual mentors join us here on stage, I just want you to have a chance to take a lovely look at your new family, okay? Amen. Yeah. We have a matter of business. I wonder if there is a motion to accept into the membership of the Parkwood Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let me finish it. There's a motion and a second. All in favor, go ahead and wave to your new family. Amen. 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 So you are officially part of the body of Christ in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, particularly here at Parkwood. And I know we'll wish you well, and we hope to pave the way easy for you, Jenny, as you move off to Hawaii. Right now, I want to encourage our spiritual friends and spiritual mentors to just huddle around. What we want to do is pray for these babes in Christ, okay? Come on forward. We realize that, elders, feel free, come on forward. We realize that when Jesus was baptized, he was baptized not because he was putting away an old life of sin, but he says in Matthew chapter 3, to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, his steps were to be our steps. And when he came out of the waters of baptism, it says that the heavens were opened, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And so today, I hope you hear the affirmation of the Holy Spirit saying, "You are my son, you are my daughter in whom I am well pleased." And there was another thing. As Jesus came up, it says that he began to pray there on the shore of the Jordan River. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And so that's the step that we want to walk into right now. And we want to pray for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's huddle as close as possible. And let's pray for this family. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing that the promises of God are not just wishful thinking, but they are more than life to us. You have said that we've been buried through baptism into the death of Christ, so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we ought to walk in newness of life. God, my friends here on stage are feeling the freshness of having just walked through water physically. But Lord, we're praying for the spiritual renewal that comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, as Jesus experienced the baptism of the Spirit on that day of his baptism, I pray that this would be our experience too. And yet we know that it's not just a matter of warm fuzzies. We know that Jesus walked 40 days into the wilderness from there, where he was tried and tempted and it was difficult, but you were present with him because you had baptized him with the Holy Spirit. And when he came back out of that, he was able to perform his full-time public ministry. And Lord, I pray for these young babes in Christ that you would gift them for ministry, that you would give them a special sense of the call, a special sense of the ways in which they can contribute to your work in preparing this world for your soon return. So God, gift them for ministry, connect them with ministries, do whatever you will to cause them to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I pray that you would guard them with the spiritual armor, the full armor of God. And I thank you so much that we have the privilege of a family that grows. And we ask that a prayer for our family, the Parkwood family, that we would be a family that is patient with growth, that is encouraging of growth, and that is willing to pick people up when we stumble and fall because we're still learning how to walk. So thank you, God, for your grace and your grace through one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys can be seated. Thanks. Amen. Is this fun or what? Oh, man. Praise God. Praise God. It's been a special day. And you know what? I think I shared this with everybody, but at the end, for those of you who are just baptized, at the end, just we'll form a greeting line in the lobby so you can get your week's worth of hugs today, okay? Hugs, handshakes, and high fives. All right. Do we need to preach today? I mean, man, you see a sermon in life like that, you realize the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. This is a special day. Joy Sounds Choir, thank you so much for sharing the glory of God's grace through your music. And family and friends who came to support those being baptized, it's a privilege. Yeah. Get those hugs. Get those hugs in. Amen. Today, in 3 minutes or less, we're going to share a certain... No, I'm kidding. Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. I hope you had a big breakfast. No. Today, what I want to do is just share a little bit from the Word of God. I want to start one last series with you. And the series is going to be called Moving Forward. I actually hadn't had a title for it, which is why there's none in the bulletin. So it's going to be called Moving Forward. Moving Forward, Part 1, Remember to Forget. There's a three-word sermon that Jesus once preached. Actually, it was part of a larger sermon. It was in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. In Luke chapter 17... Jesus is talking about the end of time and how the end of time is actually going to be a very trying time. You can look it up if you have a Bible. Luke is the third gospel of the New Testament, Luke chapter 17. And in three simple words, he tucks in this larger sermon one very poignant sermon, Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. When you found it, go ahead and say, I found it. Okay. If you haven't found it, you'll probably remember it after I read it here. It says, Luke chapter 17, verse 32, I'm reading from the New King James. The Bible says, remember Lot's wife. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for the privilege of opening your word together, for the privilege of worshiping together as a family, for the privilege of celebrating together as a family. And now we ask that you would teach us, instruct us, and sanctify us through your word, because your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Three powerful words. Remember Lot's wife. Do you remember her? If you don't know her story, come with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, there's a story of a particular city or a region of cities known as Sodom and what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. There was a time in Genesis 16, 17, 18, you kind of catch this picture where Lot is actually inhabiting. He left Babylon. He left Ur with Abraham, and he's been traveling with Abraham, but their livestock became too plenty. They needed to part ways. Abraham was gracious enough and said, hey, Lot, you pick first. Lot looked out, and he saw the plains of Jordan. And he said, I'll go that way. It looked green, it looked great, and Lot went that way. And it just so happened that when he went that direction, he was one step closer to a region called Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Genesis chapter 19, you realize that when God is checking out Sodom and Gomorrah in the form of three angelic beings, they themselves were being checked out. The men of that city, they had evil intent against these heavenly guests, but Lot took them in. And when God realized the danger of being within this city, it says in Genesis 19, verse 16, if you're there, say, I am there. Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, it says, and while he lingered, let's start in verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. The sin and degradation of Sodom and Gomorrah had become so great that it needed divine intervention. The evil of that time needed to be checked, and it needed to be destroyed. And it says in verse 16, and while he lingered, meaning Lot wasn't quite sure about this, he had reservations. He stuck around. There was super glue on his chair. While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. And then the rest of it says, the Lord being what? Being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. I want us to realize that that is actually the first time in all of Scripture that the word mercy or merciful is ever mentioned. God's mercy is a rescuing mercy. Okay, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just about God's vengeance against sin. It's about his mercy to save us from sin. Do you hear that? When God is actually in the work of judgment, he's actually extending mercy through that. And it says there in verse 17, so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look where? Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. The instructions are very specific. Don't look back. Why? Because don't stay in the plain. Remember, the plains of Jordan, where Lot first went to. That was his first step towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Because by looking back, you end up staying and stalling in the very place that led to Sodom in the first place. By looking back, you're not leaving at all. That's what the angels are telling them. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. The danger of looking back is that we end up standing in the plain, which is as good as having never left. Later on in the story, as they're making their way out, you come down to verse 26. There it is, that fateful verse. But his wife, speaking of Lot's wife, looked back behind him. And she became what? A pillar of salt. When Lot's wife looked back, it was because her heart was still there. You know, Jesus kind of picks up on this again in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. He says, any man who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. He said this to someone who was actually kind of recommending himself to Jesus' posse. He said, hey, I will follow you, but let me first go tell my parents goodbye. And Jesus says, hey, when you start following, don't look back. And here, Lot's wife, apparently, she was looking in the direction where her heart actually was. In doing so, she had stopped. She wasn't moving forward anymore. By looking back, she made light of God's mercy to rescue. By looking back, she stalled the escape from sin and its judgment. Anyone who wants to follow, Jesus says, puts his hand to the plow and looks back. It's not fit. Why? Because the heart is divided. The heart is divided. Questions I want to ask this morning. Have we ever been tempted to look back? Have we ever had a bit of buyer's remorse when it comes to our spiritual decisions or spiritual commitments? If you've been there, if you've done that, realize that you're not alone. God's people all throughout Scripture have struggled with this, which is why it's a repeated invitation. Don't look back. I mean, you think about the children of Israel, right? They were enslaved for 430 years in Egypt. And when they finally had their freedom, by the obvious power of God, being led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, still, while they were being led by God in freedom, they said, man, it would have been better if we were back in Egypt. People throughout Scripture have looked back. I wonder if I should have stayed. But Jesus' sermon is, remember Lot's wife. I want us to go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament is actually written to a group of people who were struggling with this very thing. Should I stay or should I go back? And Hebrews, really, it's the ultimate appeal. Obviously, you know, the grand theme is Jesus in the sanctuary. It's Jesus as the high priest who intercedes for us and is able to save us to the uttermost. It's Jesus who opens up the way into heaven. He's the forerunner. He's the anchor for the soul. And the reason why the book of Hebrews is focusing on Jesus in the sanctuary is because people are wondering, is there really a finish line? Is there really a finish line? And the author of Hebrews has to open it up and say, look, Jesus is there. He is the finish line. Keep running the race. Go with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, just a little snippet of their struggle. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. When you found it, say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning in verse 35. I'll read from 35 to 39, and you can kind of get a sense of what they were struggling with and why Paul was encouraging them in these regards specifically. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35, he says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Obviously, they were wondering, should I cast it off? Should I just get rid of this thing? Verse 36, for you have need of what? Persistence, endurance, perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. And so, on the heels of this affirmation and encouragement, guess what comes in chapter 11? It's the hall of faith, right? Person after person who continued to persist to live by faith. You've got Abraham. You've got Noah. You've got Enoch. You've got all of these heroes of the faith who could have gone back, but they continued to move forward, right? I mean, you just kind of scan through and you're looking at all these names. Man, to live by faith, also, that's what it is, to keep moving forward. And then finally, after chapter 11 comes chapter 12, and I want us to look at the first two verses of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. After all of these heroes of the faith are brought to memory's hall, it says, therefore, we also... So in light of all of these heroes of the faith who persisted to walk forward, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since we're being cheered on, there are people on the sidelines who are, keep going, you know. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking where? Looking unto Jesus. I want you to know that the very opposite of looking back is looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he started it, and the finisher, he'll complete it, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want us to see this. This is to be our experience. If we're thinking to ourselves, whoa, remember Lot's wife? Yeah, I remember. No, that's not going to be my story. Well, then what is going to be your story? It's going to be right here. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So let's pick this apart. Let's sit right here for a little bit. The appeal is to do what those in chapter 11 have done. The appeal is to press on, to run with endurance. The appeal is to move forward, to keep moving forward, to never draw back, but just to keep moving forward. So what does it take? What does it take? What are the factors that impact our ability to move forward? Let's take a look. Verse 1, read it again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Two factors. If you're writing down notes, here are the two factors. One, environment. And two, excess. Two factors that will impact your ability to run with endurance. One, environment. Two, excess. In other words, what are you surrounded by? What's your environment? Did you notice in verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses? Question I want to ask you is, who is in your cloud? I'm not talking about, you know, IBM, Microsoft, what's in your, you know, No. Who is in your cloud? Who is in your environment? Is it a cloud of witness or is it a cloud of worry? Is it a cloud of witness or is it a cloud of temptation? Is it a cloud of witness that reminds you where you're headed? Or is it a cloud of, whoa, that was my little past life and I don't want to go there? Who's in your cloud? Who's on your sidelines? This is one of the biggest factors that will impact whether or not we keep moving forward. To those of you who are just baptized, who are entering into this new walk, it takes time to build a cloud. So seek a cloud of witnesses. To those of you who are seasoned in your walk with Jesus, whose cloud will you be a part of? Did you hear it? Whose cloud will you be a part of? Or will you be a part of no one's cloud? We need to be connected. We need to be cheered on by those who will move us forward in our race, not those who will cause us to look back. So factor number one, environment. Who is in your cloud? Factor number two, excess. What do you not need anymore that you're hanging on to? Because the excess will cause you to look back. The excess has caused me to look back many, many times. Am I the only one here? The excess. And what is the excess? Specifically, there in verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares. Now, we can easily think about the sins of our old life. The sins that, I mean, that even pop up while we're living the new life. And we know, we can identify, okay, obviously, cut that, remove that, allow the blood of Jesus to redeem us from that. That's why we bury that stuff, amen? We don't take that stuff home. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, the sin that so easily ensnares us, but then there's that part, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. This is not referring to the sinful things per se, but even the innocent things that are weights. The naturally good things, the maybe even applaudable things, the things that no one would be concerned about, but they're still in excess and they're actually more of a weight to you. They're more of a hindrance than a help. These are innocent things that weigh us down in running the race of faith, and if it's not propelling us forward, guess what it's doing? It's pulling us backward. If it's not making us look to Jesus, it's making us look back. And to look back is as good as though we had never left. So what's your environment? What's your excess? And all of this is to help us run with endurance for the long haul, to the finish line, to not seek a cloud or to not lay these things aside is actually to set ourselves up for a short-lived experience. To say, oh, I don't need a cloud, or to say, I'm okay with these weights, you're really setting yourselves up not to make it to the finish line. So if you really want to run, if you really want to run with endurance, ask yourself who's in your cloud. Ask yourself what is excessive, and run with endurance. Obviously, if we don't want to move back, if we don't want to go back, and the call is to keep moving forward and to run with endurance. And according to verse 2, how does that happen? It's as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What's really cool about this word look is the Greek word for it. It's never ever used in the New Testament except here. It's a special word. It's not just look, orao, it's apo orao, which means look away from in order to look to. So this is the kind of looking that has no peripheral vision. Do you understand that? This is the kind of looking that is so intent, it's so purposeful that you're consciously saying, I'm not looking there because I'm looking right here. Amen. To look unto Jesus, apo orao, implies turning away from other things in order to fix our eyes on one thing, which is why Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to what's ahead. Do you hear it? In order to really reach, you've got to forget. You've got to forget. And when Paul says that in Philippians 3, 14, he's actually saying, not just like remove it from your remembrance. Forget means to devalue it. To count it as dung is what he says in Philippians 3. Like that stuff, it may have been pleasurable, but now your mind is different and you evaluate it differently. And so you forget that. That kind of forget. Does that make sense? And so we reach only as we forget. We neglect it. We no longer care for it. We give it over to oblivion so that we can keep reaching forward to what's ahead. In other words, when Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, he's saying, remember to forget. Remember to forget. So whether you're just now beginning this race, or whether you're persisting, you're on mile number 20, just waiting for the finish line, whatever, remember to forget. The devil knows the buttons that he can push to cause us to remember what we ought to forget. But the Holy Spirit is cheering us on, and he wants us to run with endurance. How many of you long to run with endurance today? Amen. Amen. Simple questions as we close. Practical takeaways. Who's in your cloud? Who's in your cloud, or whose cloud do you want to be in? Okay. Allow the Holy Spirit to answer that question for you. You know, develop friendships with people, and you do that by, it takes time. It's not something that can happen at the snap of a finger or a flip of a switch. It takes time to develop and cultivate those kinds of real bonds with people. But put yourself in positions where you can develop a cloud. Your cloud doesn't have to be 20 million people strong, okay? This is what we've told our new baptismal candidates as we were preparing for the class and stuff. What I said was, hey, four goals, A, B, C, D. A, abide in Jesus. Develop an ongoing relationship with Jesus. B, bear fruit. Find a ministry that you can actually give to others through. C, connect. That's one of our goals in the first 6 months, to connect with people, to develop a cloud. And then D, disciple. Bring someone to where you are today. A, B, C, D, abide, bear fruit, connect, disciple. Will you be the cloud that actually helps these people in those goals? Yeah? And as you're even reaching those goals, you can still help others reach those goals. Let's run this race with endurance. It's not Lone Ranger style. Okay? We're going to do this together. We're going to cross that finish line together. So who's in your cloud? Whose cloud can I be a part of? And then the last set of questions. What are those sinful things, or what are just those excessive things that are weighing me down, that are causing me to look back instead of looking forward? And when we put our finger on those things, then the simple message is this. You know what those are? Remember to forget it. Remember to forget. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to move forward. We thank you so much for the inspiration and the testimony of those who are moving forward in a new and dynamic way in their walk with you. And Lord, we pray for that renewing and refreshing, whether or not we've been baptized today or many days in the past. Lord, we long to move forward. We long to look forward. We long to look to Jesus. Forgive us for the times in which we have been lingering, making light of your rescuing mercy. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would rid us of the excess and that you would cultivate new environments for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.